Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey everybody, in this episode of the Riverdale After Show, we're breaking down Season 4, Episode 6, Chapter 64, The Ice Storm. Archie tries to defry a turkey, Veronica proves to be terrible at removing tablecloths, and look at Jughead and Betty doing a little sleuthing in a special episode we're going to break down next.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, with the buzz...
Deep frying turkeys indoors, that's a no to the no. Take it outdoors, make it blow up. Boom, boom, boom. Hey, everybody, it's Riverdale After Show, bringing down all the craziness that's happening there in Riverdale every single Wednesday night on the CW. I'm your host, Frank Moran, and playing that rocking intro is the wind beneath my wings, Ryan Nielsen in the booth.
How we doing, Frank? Exciting day, sir.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the Riverdale After Show.
Yes, it's Wednesday night, which means fun times are ahead. We're going to be sitting here for the next 40 minutes or so, breaking down all the craziness. Look at Ryan's sweet Wednesday night dance moves. Look at those things.
Yeah, I'm just dancing around. The boys are back in town in
That's
Riverdale,
right.
That is.
Folks, you know what? Like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And folks, the chat is going to be up and running. So hop in there. Share your thoughts.
Oh, they're sharing them, Frank. I'll tell you right now who's sharing them. It's External Shockwave.
Yes!
He's saying, man, just happy to see Frank and Ryan all day, every day. Logan Knight. Man, he's theorizing about the episode already. Don't want to get into spoilers quite yet. Hate Reaper 33, diamond emoji if you agree Brett and Donna are lying. Hashtag diamond emoji. And lastly, Melody Soto. You'd think it's Ivan, but it's actually Melody. And this isn't a superhero show, but that is an alter ego. Melody Soto in the chat. Ivan right. Using an alter ego name using the sister's account. Shout out to you, Ivan Soto.
Oh, look at that. Going a little undercover for this Riverdale After Show. I like it. We're going to be breaking down this episode. We'll do a little hot news drop at the end of the episode. And, we'll give our top 5 rankings for the storylines this episode. Actually, we'll say top 4 because Veronica's storyline was very minimal. It was more of a supplement to Archie's storyline. So we'll just narrow it down to the top 4 storylines. I'm going to rank them this week. See if your rankings agree with mine. But to kick things off, folks, it is Thanksgiving at Riverdale. They're a little bit ahead of us. Thanksgiving's not for us till next week. Ryan, before we get into the episode, do you already have Thanksgiving plans?
I do have Thanksgiving plans. I am going back to my home state of Delaware. That's right, Delaware, Frank. And it's not quite Riverdale, but it is Delaware. And I'm really excited. We're going to have some turkey. We're going to hang out with my mom's side of the family. And, I just look forward to the Black Friday sales, the Cyber Monday bales.
Now,
out of jail, that is, because people go crazy.
Absolutely. They go so crazy on Friday, they got to spend the weekend in the slammer, cooling off, and then Monday, we get our bails bondsmen. They have those great, Cyber Monday deals.
That's right. All those bank bondsmen bail deals.
That's right, yes. Get your loved ones out of prison.
But how about you, Frank Moran?
Yeah, I'm just going to be staying here, just keeping it down, keeping it locked down here.
Low-key.
Low-key. I'm not a huge holiday person.
Really? Why not?
I don't know. What I like to do on the holidays? I love to go to the movies.
Oh, Frank.
Just by myself, go to the movies.
I'm going to see Knives Out, hopefully.
Oh, yes. I'm going to go see it. Yes, I cannot wait. I'm going to see a little early advance screening this Saturday. I couldn't wait until next weekend.
Shout out to Knives Out.
Shout out. But the reason I ask is that it's Riverdale, and they're celebrating Thanksgiving. And Archie's going to use a community center to throw a big Thanksgiving meal for everybody. Everybody's invited in the community. They're opening their doors to everybody. Open door policy. And Archie's going to cook. Monroe's going to cook a little bit there. Mary's going to hop in and help out as well, too. And what Archie wants to do is do something that his father would always do. And he'd always deep fry a turkey. Ryan, I have never deep fried a turkey, nor have I ever eaten a deep fried turkey. Have you?
I believe we tried it 3 years ago. We deep fried the turkey. And I think it was low-key a hit. Like, half of us liked it a lot. But I remember it was a lot of work. Like, we had to do it outside in our street with a little propane tank. Mm-hmm. It got a little crazy. I remember it was a lot more work than it was worth.
Well, I certainly know that what's a great thing to do after Thanksgiving is to hop onto YouTube and watch all the horrible deep-fried turkey failures where everything explodes. And in fact, as Ryan was saying, you got to do it outside. That's something that Archie didn't realize, and it does play into the end of Archie's storyline in the course of this episode.
Yikes.
But first things first, we're going to open up the community center, have everybody from Riverdale who wants to come in and partake in a fantastic meal and be with around friends and family. So you would think, hey, that's a great thing. Archie's doing something great for the community. But unfortunately, we have to remember that Dodger, the kind of the evil guy of the season thus far, was found beaten and bloodied outside the community center by Archie and Reggie at the end of last episode. He's currently in the hospital. Family none too happy about it. Understandably so. I mean, even as somebody who's considered like a monster or a bad guy, they are still somebody in their lives that I'm sure loves them. And we see that with Dodger. He's got a mom and a couple of brothers that care about him. And the fact that he's been beaten up, they don't love him. They want to find out who did it and make that person pay. And of course, being Riverdale, they think our young boy Archie is the person that did it. And we know Archie's not above using his fists. But of course, I'm not thinking that Archie had anything to do with this. I mean, he and Reggie came up upon Dodger's body. And as much as Archie wants to stop Dodger, he's not going to beat him near to death and then leave him out in front of his own community center. That seems ridiculous. So I don't think, you know, we all know Archie is not the sharpest mind. He doesn't always think two or three steps ahead. This is the kind of plan that if you're going to try to do that, to try to create your own alibi, I think that's a little bit beyond Archie. We haven't seen him be able to kind of have that sort of foresight in terms of setting himself up for success. So I'm not buying that Archie had anything to do with it. It most likely is Hiram. And in fact, Hiram has sent FP over to close down the community center. Reason being is, you know, holy cow, this is an unsafe area. And somebody who was just found beaten and bloodied out front of the community center, let's close it down. It's an unsafe area. So he sends FP over to do that. And, you know, I do like it. FP, who has his own history with Hiram, says, hey, Archie, I'm telling you this because I'm being ordered to. But you know what I would do in this situation? I would say screw him and do what you need
to
do.
Easy, Frank.
Like, hey, I'm just saying what IFB was saying. Have you ever bucked authority, Ryan?
Bucked authority?
Yes. Kind of, you know, if somebody told you not to do something and you did it because you felt it was right?
I have.
Ooh, interesting.
Want to hear the story?
I would be honored.
All right, let me just put us both on screen real quick. There
All
we
right,
go.
Love it. Love it.
All right, so it was summer of 17. Working at an AMC dine-in theater, and they told me not to just play around with the guests in terms of asking them, you know, some personal movie questions, and I said no. And then I was the number one AMC stub seller that year.
Boom. There you go. What do you get as the number one AMC stub seller?
The respect of your employees, but also you get, I believe you get some like free perks, some tickets, which is nice. And it's just kind of a cool thing. It's like a few free tickets for every A-list you sell.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's cool, but it's also if you're working there, you get to see the movies for free anyway, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So I feel like having more free tickets. Okay.
I know, yeah, it's like I can bring some people along. Oh, but shout out to AMC. Love AMC. I wish there was an AMC in Riverdale.
Well, we don't know that there isn't. There could be like a little small, little, maybe like an AMC 4.
You think so? Like a four screener?
A four screener. You know, keep it low key.
I think keep it low key. But have you ever done anything like that, Frank? Like disrespected authority on any of our after shows? just in general.
You know, I don't follow the rules. I am a rule breaker, Ryan.
You're a rule breaker.
That's
I know that.
That's right. Rule breaker, heartbreaker, name it, I'm breaking it.
Risk taker, yes. Love maker, don't mess around with you.
That's right.
Shout out to Benatar.
R.I.P. No, not R.I.P.
God forbid. She's not dead,
No,
Frank.
No, she's still
Pat
here.
Benatar's alive and well.
That's right.
No one's hit her with the best shot yet. She is
fire
fine.
Away, everybody.
Fire away.
Fire away.
But you'll miss.
That's right.
Gladly.
That's right. She's got skills with a Z. So who shows up at the community center because they want to find out what the deal is? And that is Dodger's family. And being Thanksgiving, you know, hey, let's pull out a gun and hold everybody kind of under the threat of violence until we find out who's the one that beat Dodger. And, of course, Dodger's mom says, I know. A mother knows. And I know you're the one that did it, Archie. And Archie, being the stand-up guy that he is, you know what he says? He goes, you know what? I will confess to it if you will let everybody out of the community center, let them go free. And the mom agrees to it, but just before Archie can say those words, there's a nice little Spartacus moment right there in the community center. A few of the kids come up and say, no, I was the one. I was the one who did it. And the mom's not having it. And so before she decides to put Archie down, what happens? The deep fryer that they're cooking the turkey in indoors in the community center explodes. And that gives enough of a distraction for Archie and Monroe to duel it out with the other guys. And we get our hero moment for Mary. Look at that. We get to see Mary Andrews step up to the task. She grabs one of the guns and gets all Dirty Harry as as Archie and Veronica are talking about there, as with full legal understanding, being a lawyer, just saying, you know, I am in my rights to defend myself to the full extent. You have 5 seconds to get out of here. Total badass moment there for Mary Andrews. Ryan, have you ever wielded a gun?
Have I ever wielded a gun?
Yes.
I can't say I have. Back to Pat Benatar. I have not tried hitting anyone with my best shot because, no. You know what? Those are questions I don't need answers for.
You never been to a gun range?
Look, I've held a Nerf gun before, Frank.
Okay.
But I've never held a piece, a Magnum. Never
Got
touched
it.
Any of that stuff. It's just not my speed. I just don't need to.
You don't have a gun, let alone many guns, that would necessitate the need for a gun rack?
No, I don't have any firearms.
There you go. All right. Except for those
Except
guns.
Except for these.
Boom!
Yeah.
Yes!
They're right here in my arms, Frank.
I hope you have a license to carry those.
Oh, I got a license to carry those.
So, you know, Archie gets and Mary get everything under control. The day is saved. Dodger's family grabs Dodger from the hospital and splits town for a little while. But we know it's early in the season, which means at some point, when everything's at its lowest moment for Archie, Dodger's going to be showing up with some payback time for Archie. So that's coming at some point later in the season. You can just know that that's going to happen. Anytime somebody has kind of been beaten up or hurt, they disappear for a while, and then they end up coming back. It happened with Jughead and the Serpent's lawyer. She ended up looked like, you know, Jughead threw her out of town, cut off her tattoo. Sure enough, she came back and laid a beat down on Jughead. So Archie's in store for another reunion with Dodger and his family. I'm going to say, I'll throw out a prediction there, say midway, like maybe March of next year. He'll come in midway through as we're getting close to the end of the season there. Well, you'll see Dodger showing up, try to get a little revenge on Archie. But it all ends there, very touching, where they decide to honor Fred at the community center and putting up a nice big picture, and a nice big commemorative plaque there at the community center for not only Fred Andrews, but our boy Luke Perry. Big, beautiful picture of Luke Perry just smiling and beaming. That's always going to be in those shots there at the community center. A really nice tribute to the character as well as the actor himself. So very nice.
I heard they also had a tribute to Pat Benatar. May she rest in peace. Oh,
Ryan,
wait a minute.
She's not dead, Ryan.
That's right.
No.
She's not gone. I just wanted to take this time real quick to shout out a few people in the chat.
Lay it on us.
So many awesome people in the chat today. They are absolutely loving the show. We got Malcolm Adderley saying, Michael, please whack Butch, Betty, Yenta. Amy McCutcheon Weisenzel, thank you so much, Amy, for all your support. Melody Soto, once again, Ivan, thank you for your surname. I know you're going incognito today. Love seeing you. Logan Knight, here as always. Just all the support is lovely. And last but not least, Hate Reaper 33. I can tell you, we do not hate you. We love you.
No. Never least in our book. Never least.
Never least.
Never. We've got Archie storyline, but we also have, as I mentioned, Veronica played a little bit of a part in Archie's storyline, more of a supporting character. She really didn't have her own storyline this week. She was more supplemental to Archie's story, as well as a little bit with Hiram's, because, of course, Hiram is all about family. And what he knows that Veronica is very tied to Archie. And, you know, Hiram is so just transparent. I don't know. He tries to think that he's smooth, but it just feels like, and I don't know if the writers write everybody else around Hiram to be just a little bit more obtuse than they really would be, because it seems very clear that, of course, Hiram is somehow responsible for the beatdown that happened to Dodger and laid out in front of Archie's Community Center. And Hiram, of course, not doing it to help out Archie. He's doing it as a way to also screw around and get the community center closed, get Veronica maybe away from Archie always kind of, and get Veronica back into the fold. Basically, everything Hiram's doing is it's some way, whether it's through manipulation in some form or fashion, is to get Veronica closer to him and get the family unit kind of sealed in tight. And Veronica not falling for it at all. So when Archie says, hey, you know what, I'm not going to close the community center, Veronica's right there helping getting some food there from the local country club to help shore up all the food rations there at the community center. But when she goes home, she realizes, hey, you know what, because of this ice storm that's coming to Riverdale, that Hiram's decided to not go to the country club but to have dinner at home. And Veronica, not having it, so she grabs the tablecloth and just pulls all the food off the table. Ryan, I think everybody has that destructive tendency within themselves that they want to do something like that, but have never, had never fell into that urge, that impulse. Have you ever had a moment that you feel like, I just want to just flip this table, I want to pull this tablecloth and watch all this food? Have you ever had that feeling?
I've never had that feeling. I think we all have had our anger moments in the past. One of mine was actually quite recently. It was Sunday evening when the Philadelphia Eagles lost to the New England Patriots, and I just about, how earlier I was flexing, about to rip my shirt? Mm-hmm. I just about ripped my shirt last time, but in a different way, because I was just so mad that they blew it in the final 5 minutes. But I think in those situations, you just got to hold it together, take a few deep breaths, take a walk if you need it.
Yeah.
We all get stressed out. How about you, Frank? Have you ever been in those situations where you just want to flip a table?
No, I do remember as a kid, I was in a fight with my mom, and I know my sister bought her this, a little fake plant in a real kind of pot. So that's like, you can have the pot in the soil, but then just like a fake plastic plant in there. So it can, don't have to worry about watering it, but it kind of gives the illusion that it's a real plant. And I remember being in a fight with her and being so mad, I grabbed that and I just threw it on the ground.
No.
And smashed it. It wasn't my most kind of considerate move.
We all get emotional sometimes.
Yeah,
But I think we learn from those experiences, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, I like to think like, or hey, I was in like sixth grade, so maybe... not that excuses any of my actions, but I feel like I had a lot of learning to do, a lot of controlling myself and acting better in those sorts of situations. Hopefully I've gotten better.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
That would have been awful if I had just smashed the microphone. That's it.
Yeah, that would have been bad.
It's okay, Ryan.
But we're back.
It's
okay. You got to control yourself. I legitimately got worried. Anyway, chat, please tell us your anger experiences, and we will read them out loud if you want us to.
Great. Great, yes. I mean, if you want to share them but then not have us read them out, then just also like, please don't read this out, but here's my special angry moment, and we'll just
disclaimer later and give laugh. Us a disclaimer.
Now, Hiram, of course, he said 2 episodes ago that once he got out of prison, his goal was to run for mayor. And last episode, I talked about – all of a sudden he's talking about his run business, and he's not mentioning anything about mayor. Well, this beginning of the episode, we find out that Hiram is now mayor of Riverdale, and he ran unopposed. Yeah, I mean, it's – it's like – it's what Riverdale does in moments like these, is where they have these character moments where they just skip all the stuff that you would want to see perhaps of getting from A to B, and then they just take you right to Z. Like, I don't know. No, we're not going to worry about, B, C, D, E. We're just going to go right to Z. Hiram's a mayor now. Great. Which, in one sense, if you're trying to just move the story forward, I guess you don't, with so many characters, you don't have a lot of story real estate for everybody. But I also feel like sometimes that there is time to give some of the other ancillary characters a little bit more than just the highlights of their story arcs throughout the course of a season. So to go from Hiram being out of jail to now, hey, he's the mayor. Boom. I felt like there was a little bit more we could have seen in between there. But regardless, he's now the mayor. So FP reports to him. FP's not thrilled about it. FP is bristling about it because they've got a backstory there. I mean, of course, Hiram tried to kill Jughead, ordered a kill on him. FP's not thrilled about that at all. Hiram's not a nice guy. We all know that. I mean, he was in prison for the first season of the show. So we already know right from the get-go, not a great dude. But as you would have it, since the ice storm happens, FP and Alice and Hiram and Hermione both find themselves all find themselves at Pop's Chocolate Shop, still open during the ice storm, but very sparsely populated inside the restaurant. So they all decide to share a booth together. Ryan, if you're with somebody, you're with a significant other.
And, maybe I am.
Yeah, maybe you are. And you're sitting there at a nice little restaurant, and in comes somebody that you really dislike intensely.
Oh, no.
And your significant other says, hey, so-and-so, why don't you join us? What would you do?
For the bite to eat?
Yeah.
I hopefully have the foresight to see where the question's going, and I cut her off, and I go, we're just leaving.
Even though your food is being served, you got menus in your hand.
Right. I mean, oh, shoot. Yeah, well, then I guess you can't say that. God, it depends how much I...
Could you...
There's a lot of elements that go into play here. Like, if it's someone I really don't like that's threatening to sit with us or being offered to sit with us, mm-hmm. I might do anything I can to get out of that situation. Also, if the girl I'm with or the person I'm with I like a lot, I'm probably going to try to get out of the situation to just save that, to save me from flaring up.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if all intentions are good, maybe I just go with it.
Can fake it at least, and then do you afterwards, once they've left and it's back with you and your significant other, do you go like, why? Why did you?
Yeah, we have a conversation. Like, why did you? That was so awkward. And then be like, I was testing you. I'm like, oh, God. We did get a reply from the chat, though.
Yes.
The anger stories.
Ooh, all right. Lay it on us.
So here's the anger story. This is from Ivan Melody Ivan Soto saying, I got angry a little bit today, in fact. Almost smashed a table. To which I replied, and I know Ivan watches a ton of shows here. I said, well, what show are you watching? And he replied, Nancy Drew.
Hmm. All right.
Another so something happened.
Follows there. After Riverdale on Wednesday nights here on the CW.
Oh, yes. I mean, just don't get frustrated.
That's true.
You know, it's their shows.
Yeah.
But shout out to you, Ivan. Thank you for replying.
Thank you for sharing. Absolutely. That was a little stop in the angry corner for this episode. Ding.
Ding.
So, you know, what Hiram decides to do, I mean, you feel like he just knows how to push people's buttons. He says, hey, why don't we just... wrap this up by going down to Le Bon Nuit. It's closed. We can just have some drinks and just relax. And while they're down there, he's just pushing FP's buttons. Hey, you don't like my rum. You're not going to have more rum. And FP's saying, hey, somebody's got to be the sober one here to get everybody else home. And, Hiram just can't stop pushing. Just says, hey, you know, hope you didn't mind me telling you to go close down that community center. And FP just lays it out and says, hey, you know what? I remember everything you did to my son. You're a bad person. They get into a fight. FP gets Hiram up against a bar, smashes a glass bottle, and holds it up to his neck. I always think that's a cool move, and I think I would stink at it in real life. If I ever was in a fight and I grabbed a bottle and I tried to smash it and then use the edge in my hand as a weapon,
right?
I feel like it's not as easy as you think in real life to actually shatter a glass bottle and then still have... One, not have glass all over that's embedded in your skin, and then just have, like, the bottom of the bottle as, like, a weapon.
Right. There's a name for that. But, when you smash the bottom of it and it's sharp, it's a sharp edge. Yeah, I think it depends on the bottle, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, I know in TV
some
shows...
Some shatter.
Yeah, they're using all the candy glass and stuff, so it's really easy to break. So it looks great in a scene.
Yeah.
But I think in real life... I don't think it's that easy. I think you smash it, some glass ends up flying in your face, maybe your arms, and cutting you up as well. I can't imagine it can't be that easy.
Yeah, it can't be that easy.
I know I would probably stink at it. Or you try to do it and it doesn't break. It's just like you need to whack it a few times to do it.
I think at the old timey, I heard this. I think the old timey like rum and gin bottles that were like straight up glass that have the round edges towards the pourer, that when those are so sturdy, it's easy to break the ending, but they just don't make them like that anymore because of that exact reason.
You know, they want to stop those bar fights. I feel like, you know, bartenders are like, hey, it's too easy for guys to start smashing my bottles and cutting each other up. It's bad for business.
Right.
Nobody's going to want to be, no, there's not going to be alive to be drinking my booze.
It's bad for business. I mean, you got to make it more safe for the community.
Yeah, we're going to hold on my booze. You've broken all my bottles. It's tough. It's tough being a bartender.
Tough.
Yeah, you know. So FP leaves, and he and Alice hang out at the end of the episode, and FP's like, hey, I can't do this. You know, I am a serpent through and through. I can't not work for Hiram. And Alice says, you know, why couldn't you be both? So if Hiram can be both mayor of Riverdale as well as kind of a kingpin in Riverdale? Why can't FB both be the sheriff as well as a gang leader? And I like that. I mean, I feel like Hiram needs somebody that's going to be able to be opposition for him. And if you're not having Fred Andrews around, the next bet is going to be FP. You had FP Jones in there to do that. So I feel like he's taking a little page from Hiram's playbook. He's going to be playing both sides, not just to get what he wants, but also to help serve the community as well. So he's going to be looking out for the community's best interest, but also keeping an eye on Hiram. And I like it. I really like it, as a matter of fact. I just worry, as with all adult storylines, I feel like it's not really going to get the play that I would like to see it. Because I feel like there's just something in between seeing Mark Consuelos or FP and Hiram going at it, that, you know, Skeet Ulrich, Mark Consuelos going at it. I'd love to see more of the scenes through the course of the season. But, I mean, I know they're not the title character, nor are they one of the core four. So I feel like we're only going to get snippets through the course of the season, which I guess I'll be happy for. I just already know I'm going to want more, and I'm not going to get it. We also have probably my least favorite storyline in this episode. So I'm going to put this all the way down. Out of our four stories, this is coming in dead last, number four. And that is Cheryl Blossom's storyline, her and Tony. Boom. Shots fired? Shots fired in the
You know, it was
hat?
A whip. Oh, cracking the whip.
Cracking the whip. All right. Oh, all right. I thought somebody was trying to take a shot at Pat Benatar. No?
No one's shooting at Pat Benatar.
No one's firing away?
No one's firing away.
All right, just checking. It sounded like it for a second. But we've got Cheryl and Tony, and we find out we had the uncle last episode that came down, and Tony kind of whacked on the back of the head. I only thought she was unconscious because it didn't really see any pool of blood or anything around there. Come to find out this episode that, yes, he really, truly is indeed dead. And there's such a lack of remorse. I mean, certainly, I mean, I guess not a great guy. He was trying to steal something from Cheryl, and he was hurting Cheryl at the moment, too, so certainly not a great guy. But I feel like they're really, maybe it's because Tony's also run with the serpents and stuff, so she's used to being around violence. But it also just seemed weird that, yeah, you know, we killed somebody, and, you know, well, guess what? We're just going to get rid of the body. We're going to wait till the ice storm comes in. Under the then before the Sweetwater River completely freezes, we'll throw the body in. It'll freeze over. By the time it ends up thawing out in the spring, the body's going to be so decomposed that there's no way they're going to be able to trace it to us. Perfect plan. Problem is, Cheryl's Aunt Cricket is hanging out down the bottom of the driveway to this house, waiting to see what Cheryl and Tony are going to do with the uncle's with the uncle's body, or where they're stashing the uncle. So the way to get around this is to invite them in and really play up the supposed First Blossom Thanksgiving. And we come to find out, Ryan, do you know what the First Blossom Thanksgiving was like?
No. What was it like, Frank?
Well, you know, it was really cold. An ice storm set in, very similar to the Thanksgiving that they're having in Riverdale right now. But so cold, it sealed them in. And there was no food. Ran out of food. Everybody was desperately hungry. They couldn't get out. They couldn't escape.
Oh, man.
Trapped in these confines for a winter.
Oh, no.
All they could do is, when the hunger grew too much, they had to turn to each other.
Oh, my gosh.
And eat blossom flesh, as Nana Blossom describes. Blossom flesh. It was great. So
holy cow.
So they, according to Blossom legend, turned into cannibals.
Yikes.
And what Cheryl decides to do is to make it seem like her cousin Fester and Aunt Cricket have now kind of fallen into cannibalism as well, is pretend to make meat pies that are stuffed with the filling of their dead uncle. And even going to sell the story a little bit, they put in the uncle's ring into one of the meat pies. So somebody eats it and they like, oh, I've got a ring in here. Convinces them, hey, guess what? You've eaten your own, your husband / your father. You guys are cannibals as well. If you want to keep pressing this, if you want to keep trying to look for a body, if you want to try to get my maple empire, anything like this, I'm going to have to reveal everybody that you ate somebody else, another human being, and that is illegal here in these parts. So we see Cricket and Fester. They take off for now with a tail between their legs, and we just get to see Tony and Cheryl at the end of the episode. Just, you know, having a little smooch as the camera moves up and then reveals creepy doll Julian just watching them. And I don't know what it is with this doll. Because we go from last episode. Brian, we talked about last episode that the way to get rid of this doll is that they should just burn it.
We had three things.
Yes.
I think we had burn it.
Yep. Wood chipper.
At the stake.
Yes.
Wood chipper.
Yes.
Or tie it down by a weight and throw it in the river.
Yes. They only put like a...
Drown
those spirits.
Drown the spirits.
They just put it in kind of big bucket and put a brick on top of it last episode. Now this episode, it's back out again.
That's a glorified paperweight.
Yeah. It's just back out and this doll's hanging out and nobody's as creeped out as they were last episode. Now the doll's just there and nobody's paying it any mind. I don't understand where the storyline is going so far. And they haven't really... I mean, you know it's not going to go supernatural. It's not going to become Sabrina, the teenage witch. It's not going to get all dark and creepy and mysterious and weird. There's going to be something going on, but it's ultimately going to have a real-world explanation for it. So I have to admit, I really don't care at this point. I don't care.
Not every storyline is a home run.
No, that's true. You can't have a winner every time. And so that's where I am with this storyline. That's why it's coming in dead last for me, guys, is that whatever the writer's intention for the storyline is, I really need to see them step it up because right now it is a snoozer. So that's our bottom story. But our top story right now is as we're wrapping up here is I'm going to put storyline number one. I'm going to go with Jughead and Betty. So we've got Betty decides to go up to the Stonewall Prep to hang out with Jughead, not just because it'd be great to see him over the weekend, Thanksgiving break, but also to help Jughead with his writing, but also to do a little sleuthing because it is Thanksgiving break, so a lot of the students are going to be leaving. He's going to have Stonewall Prep all to himself. He's going to be able to do some investigating and try to find out the real reason that Mr. Chipping jumped out that window last episode and plummeted to his death. People are trying to say that it's suicide, and Jughead's not buying it. And so he wants to use that time over Thanksgiving break to kind of do a little looking around. And it turns out, though, as he's talking to Betty about these plans, who happens to be listening but your good pal Brent. He's in there just snooping away, hearing this conversation. So once everybody leaves and it's just Jughead and Betty, Jughead goes to a vending machine and, wouldn't you know it, Brent and Donna decide to stay back as well and to just do a little old-fashioned scaring. They each put on really big rabbit masks and then are holding axes. Ryan, I'm sure you like to pull a prank or two on friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. But at any time, was like a good prank putting on like a mask and wielding an axe?
I think I passed on that one. When I thought about it, but I just said, you know what, that I could get into trouble doing that.
Yeah. I mean, the only
Max wielding an axe.
The only pranks that I were involved in, there were two in college. One was we had the recycling bin on our floor, all the tin can, all the aluminum cans for the soda.
Right.
What we'd do is we'd stack them up outside of somebody's door and then tie one can door in the middle towards that person's doorknob. So when they'd open their door in the morning, they'd all come crashing down in front of them. And we would call ourselves the Tin Can Banditos.
Love that.
So. But the way that my roommate said, hey, we got to do this. We have to do it to ourselves or throw ourselves off the track. It's like, I don't want to do that to myself. I know how annoying that is to pick these things up. I don't want to do it.
Right.
So that's when the Tin Can Banditos fell apart.
The one thing I would do is in our college dorms, we would actually all get a table. Each student would get their own table. So when the other roommate was gone, we would put that table in another person's room or like flip it around or maybe even block the main entrance to the door so that when they open the door, you just are met by like the blockade of a table and you realize, oh, it's my table and I need to put it back. Oh, and the biggest prank we played was that we had bunk beds and we literally took the top bunk off and then just hid it away. So they came back and they just didn't have a bed. It was like the final week. It was awesome.
Oh, that's beautiful. I had a roommate that would forget his laundry at home if he'd go home for a break. And so I went to school in Illinois. So dead of winter, he came back and forgot everything. And my roommate and I, because we were so mad at him, the way he would always snooze through 15 times on his alarm every morning and wake us all up, we would keep the windows open in the dead of winter because we still had all our blankets and stuff. And he would just sit there on his bed with no sheets, only with the mesh bag of his laundry and a winter jacket to keep himself warm. That was, I don't know if that was a prank. That was just cruel. That was cruel. I was a mean person.
No, you weren't mean.
It was done with love. It was done with love.
It was done with love.
So anyway, what I liked about this is that it didn't play it. I mean, it, of course, last season we saw everything with the Black Hood. We saw everything there with whatever his name is, the Griffin King or whatever.
Griffin King.
Yes, whatever. But anyway, so people standing there looking menacingly in a kind of elaborate costume, looking threateningly on. I like how they played against expectations for this. You're like, oh man, are we going to get into this again? And what happens is that Betty immediately clocks out Brett, knocks him right out with a golf club, says, I saw him walk by, I took him out, which, of course, Brett's a chump, so it was great to see that. But what happens is that, you know, they give him a few stitches, and since they're all there for the weekend, they decide to play a game, Never Have I Ever. Ryan, have you ever played Never Have I Ever?
Oh boy, have I.
I was never really well-versed in the rules. So is it the case that if you ask a question and you don't get anybody to drop a finger or anything, that means you have to chug the entire drink of choice?
Ooh, I have never played it that way, but that's certainly a way you can play it.
That's the way they played it in this, and I had never heard it played that way. So, which happened to work out conveniently for Betty and Jughead, because they were trying to get back Brett and Donna by finding more information about this murder, about Mr. Chipping's death, I should say. Was it really a murder? What happened about it? How involved are Brent and Donna knowing what's going on?
Right.
And so once Jughead chugs the whole flask, Betty says, oh, I'll go fill it up somewhere else. Uses that opportunity to go into Donna's room and happens to find a little tie pin in there with a emblem on it that Jughead earlier tells Betty belonged to a secret society within Stonewall Prep. It was the Quills and Skulls Club. It's a little secret society.
Oh.
And so Jughead's thinking that, hey, you know, all secret societies, if you want to join them, you end up having to tell some terrible dark secret to the group as kind of an offering. And so perhaps that's how DuPont leveraged Chipping into killing himself by saying, hey, if you don't kill yourself, I will reveal this terrible dark secret because I'm part of the same society as you. That's Jughead's theory. He finds his tie pin in Donna's room. Donna reveals, like, hey, you know what? I was having an affair with Mr. Chipping, and he was getting violent with me because, he, you know, I was trying to break it off. I like that Betty says, hey, you know what? There, it could be true, but I also feel like it could be just her story to try to throw everything off, try to throw you off the scent. So she tells Jughead to go and talk to the headmaster, but before he can do that, Donna goes there first, says everything, and ends up throwing pretty much Mr. Chipping under the bus, really painting him as a creep that was trying to take advantage of a student. So it kind of tarnishes Mr. Chipping's name. And as much as Brenton is saying, hey, you know what, I guess this closes the book. He just committed a suicide because he was a chump and he was creepy towards a student. I feel like pretty much if you wanted to get Jughead off the trail, that was the wrong way to go about it because Jughead's motivated now to find out what the real deal is. What happened to Mr. Chipping? What's going on at Stonewall Prep? And what's the real deal with the Baxter Boys stories, and how can he prove that his grandfather and his legacy was stolen from him? So this still, so far, is becoming my favorite storyline of the season. I know it plays into the flash forwards that we've seen. There's speculation about what that can mean. We've talked about that. But out of all four stories that's happening this week, that takes the top slot for me. I'm still very interested in it, and they've been doing a good job of kind of making it creepy and moving along. And certainly Mr. Chipping's death was a nice kind of goose the engine, so to speak, there. So I'm curious to see where this goes. And if we're getting close to the winter hiatus, where we're going to be ending up here in terms of the Stonewall Prep storyline that's going to kind of leave us on a sort of cliffhanger to get us going to the spring return. So that's my ranking for the four storylines this week. If you disagree, if you find some other storyline was better than what I've said, feel free to comment in the chat. Let us know. Leave a comment down below as well. So I went Jughead, then Archie, then her FB and Irem, and then my last one, of course, is Cheryl and Tony. That's my ranking. What's yours? But before we wrap up, Ryan, we've got a little news drop. Just a rapid, fast news drop. Super fast.
A little news drop.
Yes. Of course, we're going to be off until December 4th here, but when December 4th comes back, you know who's returning to Riverdale? Or not returning, but joining the Riverdale cast for an episode? Gina Torres. That's right. You know, from Suits, from Firefly, fantastic actress. She's going to be joining as a therapist. Seems like a counselor talking to everybody. So this could be a very good episode, just this nice standalone episode where we really get to dive deep into where each of these characters are in terms of their storyline for this season. It'll be nice to get them to kind of realize some things about themselves that might help change where the storylines are going for the rest of the season, or at least up until the mid-season finale. So I'm excited about that. So Gina Torres on December 4th episode of Riverdale. Check it out. But folks, Ryan, we've done it.
We've done it, Frank.
Holy cow, another episode come and gone. And as I mentioned, folks, yes, new Riverdale episode will be back December 4th. That's when Ryan and I will be here. We hope you'll be here with us as well.
Should have an awesome weekend. An awesome break as well. I just want to do some final shout-outs to the chat. Just
lay
everyone
it on
who's
us.
In there. So a final shout-out to everyone, including Logan Knight, Melody Soto, we know it's Ivan, JK, Malcolm Adderley, External Shockwave, thank you so much for all your support. And, of course, HateReaper33. Sorry, just filing through. And we got Billie Jean Girl 24. Thank you so much, Billie Jean Girl. You're here every week as well. And lastly, Amy McCutcheon, thank you so much for all your support. We greatly appreciate it.
Folks, we couldn't do the show. I mean, we could do it, but it would not be nearly as much fun without having each and every one of you join us every single week. We really, really appreciate you taking time out of your Wednesday night to join us and breaking down all the craziness that's happening in Riverdale. But as always, folks, like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and thank you all once again for hopping in the chat. But if you want to stay in touch with either Ryan or myself even after the show's over, tell Ryan how cool he is, how great his Star Wars news show is, his recaps of The Mandalorian, his articles that he's writing. Ryan, where can they find you?
Y'all can find me at RyanNilson_. That is on Twitter at RyanNilson. And on Instagram at @RyanNilson_.
Beautiful. Yes, make sure you check out. He wrote an article about the Snyder Cut.
The Snyder Cut and how Yoda might be a clone.
Look at that. Check him out. Folks, follow me on Twitter and Instagram at @HappyGoJackie. We'll see you back here December 4th for an all-new episode of Riverdale right here on AfterBuzz TV. Have a happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Good luck, Pat Benatar.
And me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.